Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Emma Mailman.
Okay, so today I'm going to give you a couple definitions. Cybersecurity, the state of being protected against the criminal or unauthorized use of electronic data or data, or the measures taken to achieve this. Okay, so that's cybersecurity. Then I'm going to give you this definition. This is a Merriam-Webster definition. Whisperer, a person who is unusually skilled at calmly guiding, influencing, or managing other people. So a cybersecurity whisperer is a person who is unusually skilled at calmly guiding, influencing, or managing other people in the state of being protected against the criminal or unauthorized use of electronic data or the measures taken to achieve this. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
A lot of work on that. I literally just took two definitions and went, smashed them together. So yeah, but so we're back with our friends from Synergex, who are a regular guest now. Emma and I have been, we just said maybe what, once a quarter they're in. It feels like every other month they're on these podcasts with us. So we want to welcome back John and Pete. Welcome, John.
Hello, hello.
And welcome, Pete.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Haley.
You're welcome. And we have, for the first time ever, poor guy, he's in the mix. He's like, oh God, what am I getting myself into? We would like to welcome Harley Kada, and he is with the Coding House. So welcome, Harley.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Are you a little nervous because it's your first time on a podcast?
I am.
For sure. And we just called you a cybersecurity whisperer, so now you got all that pressure.
Yeah.
No, okay. I am definitely not. That's why we hire you guys. I was going to say, Pete's picture should definitely be right there next to the definition.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's fantastic, Harley. I love this. So how much did they send you before you got started? Like 20 bucks? Like, what was it? Like,
I don't know.
For beers
we're
later?
We're going to talk about that after. See how good it goes.
Depends on how good this goes. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, welcome. Welcome, guys. And I always, they always love the icebreaker questions that I have. So here's my icebreaker question for you. I think Emma already saw this. I'm hoping she already saw this. So she might've already had this time to process in her head. And I actually processed this as you were telling me a story before we started. If you could have time to sit with someone dead or alive, who would it be and why? All right.
I'll take this one. And it's not super significant, so it should let Emma off the hook. I'd say it's the first person that popped in my mind that would be cool to sit down with and have a chat, but Douglas Adams, and he wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I just think it'd be a cool conversation to have.
Yeah. I love that, Pete. Is that something from like you grew up and you just like always loved, or?
Yeah, he touches upon that sci-fi side of me. So and just an incredible author. Like if you follow all his series, just the worlds that he would build, but the humor he brought into everything too. So I enjoyed the humor probably more than even the sci-fi aspect.
That's awesome. Great answer. All right, Harley or John?
I'll go.
All right, Harley.
Wow, that's a tough question to think of like quickly like that. But Ted Williams played for the Red Sox, obviously. He left in like the prime of his career to go fight a war for the country, and then came back and continued. But yeah, that's, I look up to that.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's
right on.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, John.
And mine's not nearly as inspirational and probably a little cliche for an IT guy. You know, I think I would have liked to have met Steve Jobs, not because he was in technology. I just get a lot of energy out of people that are so passionate about what they do that, you know, they don't take no for an answer. And so I would love to sit across the table from Steve Jobs and see where that ends.
Mm-hmm. All right, Emma.
Harley Lloyd, because after reading her book, I just think she like processes life kind of similarly to a robot, where it's like she faces so much adversity and setbacks, but she was so focused on the overarching goal to be the best in the world and ended up being able to attain that. And I think that's kind of incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. Nice little mix. We got an author, an athlete, another athlete, and then Steve Jobs. I mean, he's an innovator, I think. I would call him more of like an innovator on that side. So that was a good, good mix. So let's talk about this connection. So John and Pete, how are you connected to Harley? Because people are probably like, wait, we know why they're on here, but how did we bring Harley into this mix?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And actually it's through our relationship with Mass MEP, right? So I'm sure Harley will touch a little bit on this, you know, in the near future here, but they were in need of a CMMC gap assessment. And fortunately Mass MEP has some services there to kind of help with that, and made that introduction for us. And fast forward, you know, beyond the assessment, we're continuing to work with them. I think Harley and Kim are a great example of, you know, an organization that culturally fits really well with us, and we're really excited to be working with them.
Yeah. So Pete, you're his, by, you know, he gives you these accolades now, so you're his cybersecurity whisperer.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but yeah, I was introduced to them. It's been about a year now, so they came to us to do that as gap assessment end of last year. And they had an aggressive timetable. They had a contract that they needed this done for. So we jumped right on board and got it done by end of year for them. And then, yeah, they were looking for more of that kind of cybersecurity support and implementation. So we, like John said, have been working with them since.
So I guess flipping that then on Harley, why Synergex? What about them stood out to you that made you want to work with them?
Well, they were recommended to us by Mass MEP and Cyber Saint. So we called them right away. We really had such a small time frame to get this together. And we were so uninformed. We really didn't know how much there was to do. So when we first hooked up with John and Pete, we were literally like trying to get this done in a couple of weeks. And they were like, hold on, this is a month's worth of work. So we didn't know like how much there really was to become CMMC certified. And it's still a work in process, but progress, a work in progress. But we love Synergex. We ended up hiring them as our IT company also. So we are calling them all the time to fix everything we have here.
If I think back on some of those early conversation meeting with you and Kim, that was pretty fun. That was pretty hilarious. I know it didn't feel like it at the time, right? We have this business opportunity with, right, potentially a pretty substantial size of business for you, right? But we have these compliance hurdles and they won't do business with us. We might lose this opportunity. But looking back now, right, it is a little funny. Right?
I don't think he's laughing quite yet, John.
No, he's like,
give him a little bit more time.
Oh, I am now because we got the job. You know, everything's smooth now. But at the time, we were like, right now, we need this. Here's another form that is 30 pages long that you need to fill out for us.
Oh, God.
So, Harley, can you go into just a little more detail on what exactly the Coding House does and why cybersecurity was so important to you guys?
Yeah, so we are a fastener supplier and authorized Henkel Loctite Service Center. So we supply fasteners and also put a Loctite pre-applied patch onto fasteners and fittings. We have a lot of work in DOD, electronics, automotive. Can I start that over?
No, no, I think, you know, if you know, if I can kind of do my best to not butcher it a little bit, it sounds like maybe the company had had been very focused on, you know, some of this Loctite substance, but has evolved a little bit, right, to sort of meet the needs of your customers, you know, the fasteners themselves, right, basically, you know, solving challenges from your customers and using that opportunity to kind of scale the business has been the last couple of years for you, and it's been pretty successful.
Yeah, absolutely. We when Kim and I first took over, we were just applying coating to parts that customers were sending us that they owned. In the last couple of years, we've definitely moved more into supplying the fastener also. So we're a one-stop shop for a lot of these companies. So they don't just call us because they know us for our coating. They also call us just to purchase fasteners, and then we can pitch our coating onto them from that point.
Yeah. I think Harley and the coating house, you know, they're a great example of a lot of the businesses that we work with, right? They're very lean in their resourcing. They're trying to sell, you know, to a big market. You know, they've existed for some time in some way. They're trying to pivot. They have all these challenges. And then all of a sudden, you know, we can't do business unless we become at least semi-compliant in CMMC and have a path. So it was a really good example of, you know, a way that you can find some relief when you don't have a lot of people, you know, to be able to deal with non-revenue generating stuff. And to deal with a topic that's like, whoa, right? What are we talking about? We're talking about the meta universe. What is this?
And even this customer that required us to become CMMC certified, any current suppliers they had at the time weren't required for several years to become certified, but any new supplier needed to be certified to start. So that's where the big push was. So they still have suppliers selling them products that are not certified or have any cybersecurity whatsoever. And, you know, that could go on for another couple of years.
How was the process of getting certified? Was it easy? Was it really difficult? Were there a lot of setbacks?
So we are not officially certified yet. They don't even have auditors out there yet certifying companies for CMMC. There is a, and Pete and John can speak more to this, but there's a number scale and you have to reach a certain number to be able to become certified when they actually put auditors into the field. So our customer really wanted us to fill out an assessment that really rates where we are, and we had to be at that are close to that number to get their work, knowing that soon there will be auditors out in the field.
That's right. So what Harley's referring to is an SPRS score, and that's many of these prime contractors are looking for that. So it's entered onto a government website. Your score is based on the NIST standard right now. So NIST 800-171. So most vendors or contractors are just being asked to have a score showing them where they are on that process of reaching NIST compliance, but it also moves into CMMC compliance. So the contractor that was working with the coating house, yes, they want to see that they're on a path to CMMC compliance. So they needed some of the deliverables that we assist with, which is a system security plan and a plan of action and mitigation. So those were the main documents and requirements that the coating house needed just to secure that contract.
Yeah, I know we talk about, you know, the compliance a lot. Very often we're in the beginning, especially in a high pressure situation where we need some stuff done for business, you know, kind of trying to talk through that difference that Harley is now a master of. You are a cybersecurity whisperer, and sort of delineating that, you know, the certification process is something that's down the road. We are a registered practitioner for the CMMC accreditation body, but what that empowers us to do is to do independent assessments to get you ready for the audit, right? We're kind of like personal trainers for cybersecurity. And whisperers. I don't know. I'm sorry. I've had a lot of coffee.
No, my resume just gets bigger, longer and longer every time we have these conversations. I'm like, oh, I can put on personal trainer, whisperer, whatever. Yeah, this is
great. You ready.
Yeah. No, it's good though. To be able to make it relevant so people really get it and understand it.
Yeah, I will say that. John and Pete, they really taught us a lot about the process rather than just we're hiring them to do this for us. You know, like I have other customers that'll send us stuff and instantly I'm like, oh, that is not safe. I can't believe that they're doing that. I think I should become an auditor. But,
I love it.
So they definitely taught us a lot about the process.
So off of that then, just because I feel like every single time I'm on Zoom with you guys, I learn something that baffles me. So for Harley, since they're teaching you so much, what's one thing that's blown your mind that they've taught you?
Just the extent of it. I am a manufacturing person, like my whole career. Technology is not my forte. Learned a decent amount just being on the office side of the manufacturing world. Right. But the extent of the CMMC assessment really was just, it was shocking to me how much there was. I had no clue. Just the processes, 30, 40, 50 pages of just processes that we have to now teach our employees that you wouldn't even think of. Then the stuff that is actually inside the computer and the tracking and the servers. And there's just so much. I had no idea. We can never have done it.
It's just endless amounts of information.
It's wild out there right now. I think everybody right now has, you know, a pretty good sense, you know, for what the consequences are for poor cybersecurity, right? Whether you're in manufacturing or not. You know, I have a great example, if it's okay to kind of tell a little story. I promise I'll be quick. we very often, you know, so we also are IT managed service providers, right? And so we very often are brought into situations that maybe aren't as graceful as coming in to do a gap assessment that's proactive, right? I think this is an interesting perspective for people who are very focused on CMMC compliance, sort of the reality of it, right? Retail organizations, you know, commercial space that's non-regulated. We work with all types. And it's very often that when we're brought in, it's after the fact, right? It's you were working with somebody else or you weren't working with anybody else and something bad happened, something very bad. You know, and in that time, we're kind of, you know, we're in triage mode. We're trying to stop the bleeding. You know, we're trying to make sense of what happened. We're trying to build a timeline. You know, we have this one example where in 2020, one business was infected with, we won't call it infected. They were sort of hacked, right? That's the term. They have a simple web server on the internet. You know, what that means is, you know, they either have a website that they host someplace or they have an email server that's not in the cloud. It's just something that's attached to the internet, which a lot of businesses have. They may not know that, and, you know, maybe they do. But if it's exposed like that, you know, there could be potential risks involved. And in this case, last year, something was planted in one of these servers that was exposed to the internet. At that time, you know, they didn't have any sort of a cyber defense that could recognize something like that had happened. But also it was business as usual, right? Nothing was going on. Fast forward a year, right? And almost exactly a year after this had occurred, infections start to happen, right? It just seems like it's random, like, whoa, you know, there's some weird stuff happening in the network now. And the attacker here was able to get some administrative credentials, run some ransomware code, grab some passwords, and do major damage in an environment. In this case, you know, it was pretty bad. You know, we didn't have backups there to work with, so the information was truly at risk. And what I think is interesting, and maybe a lot of folks don't hear about, is if you're a business owner in that situation, and you know, you don't have any sort of these other options, right? When something like that happens, you're going to pay the ransom, right? If you have 20, 30 years of business behind you that is tied up and gone unless you pay this ransom, well, now you go from a contingency plan to negotiation mode, right? And in this case, you know, it was a lot of money. You know, it was six-figure money, right? We're trying to get this stuff back. And negotiation one goes through. And at this point, there's lots of attorneys, insurance folks sort of involved. Negotiation one goes through, make a payment. We only get two of the four encryption keys back, right, that are needed. So it's not like you're negotiating with someone in good faith either, right? Picture going into to buy your brand new car and you say it's $40,000 and you give them 40K and they go, well, just kidding. It's actually 40,000 more if you want this car, right? Yeah. And so at that point, you've lost even more leverage. It's just an awful situation. And that's kind of the reason that a lot of these regulations are in place. We're not just talking about commercial assets. We're talking about national defense, right? When it comes to DoD manufacturing. So the stakes are much higher. It's just kind of interesting. You know, I think if you haven't gone through it, hopefully none of you ever have that are listening, mm-hmm. or never will. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty wild place out there. And that's why all this regulation is wild.
What's the accountability on something like that? Like if there is a company that does quote get hacked, did that fall on someone normally, or is it kind of just fixing it on your end and the company continues on? Is there anything that falls on the person who actually did it?
Oh, you mean the attacker? Yeah. You know, I think, you know, the
is that like
the
a common thing?
The federal government is doing all they can, right? The FBI, yeah. And we've actually spoken to the FBI in some cases. They're building, right, you know, national defense towards this stuff for everybody. Yeah. But think about it, right? If you're in a small town someplace and something like this happens to you, are your local police equipped to deal with that sort of an issue? They're not, right? It's really kind of the IT companies that are going to do the best they can to try to help you out. And, you know, you're going to be calling insurance companies who work with third parties, you know, to do this. But as far as the criminal themselves and accountability for those actions, there's very few that pay any sort of price for this, because we're dealing in cryptocurrency. You don't know who they are, you know, and it's a shadow organization. And you're just, as a business owner, happy that you got your stuff back in the end if you do.
Yeah.
In cases
I didn't know
like
if that
this,
was a silly question or not, but I feel like that's something like I'm always thinking about. I'm like, how does someone come forward saying like this was my action if it's all over the internet?
Know, Emma, I think we talked about it in a webinar in the past, but you know, the these organizations, it's like funny for them, right? They mm-hmm. publish themselves. They're companies themselves, right? They make their own organizations. Hi, we're like Black Hawk LLC and mm-hmm. we got you. Mm-hmm. Come find us, like send us cash or else, you know, and it's wild. It's wild. I'm sure it'll evolve, right? But it's really, you know, I guess the point is that there's a reason for all of this, you know, 30-page compliance documentation. And as a country, we are very far behind, you know, when it comes to our sort of thinking around cybersecurity and technology. And I think you hear a lot, you know, of our federal government, you know, talking about that and easing us into this. I know it's not the topic of the day, but as a country, we'll be making big strides in that direction, you know, for the next 20 years, no doubt.
Well, you talk about the next 20 years, but was there anything that happened in 2021 that brought either, I don't want to say opportunities or maybe adjustments to the surface? Was there anything you felt that kind of was like, oh, that was brought to the surface that was never seen before, and that's something that maybe we need to adjust, you know, and reflect back on and move forward with making a different move?
You know, to me, and, you know, if you have a different idea, P, let me, you know, stop me, but it was pace, right? Mm-hmm. Coronavirus, the pandemic and mobility changed the pace of attack, right? Mostly because it introduced change, right, to people's day-to-day lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was some value, right, in sort of sitting behind, you know, your office firewall and everything was okay. And, you know, if you weren't planning ahead for mobility, if you weren't planning ahead for having, you know, 20 workers working from home, yeah, and accessing your environment, then you did it quickly because you didn't want to lose revenue, right? You're like, oh, let's do this. And, you know, a lot of times in those situations, cybersecurity is an afterthought. And that's prime opportunity, right? And so while we spent a lot of time out there, you know, we've come from banking backgrounds, and cybersecurity was always top of mind. The conversation before that was, oh, why do I want to buy this thing? It costs, you know, blah, blah, blah. Why do we need it? I've been in existence for 20 years and everything's fine. The conversation now is, you know, whoa, can you help me can you help me sleep at night? Because, you know, this world we live in, it's just too wild.
Do you think there's anything that's going to happen in 2022? I know you don't have a crystal ball and you guys both can't look into it, but if you were to guess or just kind of assume.
And these attacks are getting more complex and intelligent, and it's the planning process. I just want to, like, if we haven't taken the warning already to plan ahead for this, so mm-hmm. We're seeing, I forget the percentages, but the number of companies that are exposed to ransomware attacks now is just crazy how on the rise it is. So planning ahead, like Harley and John, they both made mention of all this process and procedure, and sometimes it feels overwhelming, and why would we want to go through all this? But if you get into the content of it, it's very important. It's essential to planning for what if an incident like this mm-hmm. happens. I talked to John ahead of this call about this is the a key part of the whole CMMC requirements that Harley had to go through is incident response plan. Well, that should be a key part of everyone's organization. So if something does occur, I mean, forget about having your firewall in place and patched and the right virus software, all these things we should be doing, but well, if it does happen to you, what is your plan? How do you have it worked out? It could save a great amount of time. It could save or just help with assisting on how you're going to work with these hackers if it does occur, or just having that incident response plan could help you avoid it all together by identifying potential incidents and patching that risk altogether. Mm. And how are you going to react if it does happen? Who do you contact? Yeah. Do you have the right insurance plans in place to help you with that too? And then who are you as an organization required to communicate to? So depending on the types of data that you house.
Yeah, the world's only going to get more ingrained. Right. You think about, you know, the voice response technology, what mm-hmm. Zuckerberg's doing with technology, mm-hmm. virtual reality, industry 4.0. This equation doesn't get simpler. Mm-hmm. Right. What we're dealing with today, if you really want to think about it, is basic algebra. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of unable to deal with it. So we're catching up. But as we're catching up, we're going to be moving to calculus. Right. So mm-hmm. so, you know, I think looking ahead, are we going to see a lot more, you know, technology and more cybersecurity risk? Absolutely. So it's really just important to get yourself and your company to the right fitness level, to the right kind of thinking, to the right discipline to be able to deal with this sort of situation, because it's only going to get quote unquote worse. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then Harley, so for you, I know, obviously, because we talk about this a lot when we talk about manufacturing and trying to demyth the whole where manufacturing used to be, you know, the dark, dangerous, dirty kind of, and where it is today. Did you ever think this was anything you would ever encounter? You know, you say your background's in manufacturing. Even that alone just is almost kind of mind blowing that you have to think of that through now.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time I log into my computer with multi-factor authentication, I think about it. No, I didn't think we would ever be going this far with protection with our technology. We are ahead of several other manufacturing companies, which I think gives us a leg up against the competition. And I also see not necessarily like a CMMC certification, but a similar level of cybersecurity being just as like needed as like an ISO certification, not that far down the road. And every company will have that to be credible to some of these big customers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so true. So you guys, so it was a client, hey, if you want to continue and we want to have us as your client, we need you to start this process.
Yes, a DOD contractor reached out to us, and to get onto their approved vendor list, any new vendor, they don't need to have the CMMC certification, but we need to have a number on our NIST assessment that would say that we are to level 3 CMMC compliance. Then we've had another one of our DOD customers reach out to us and ask us to fill out the same assessment for them too. So if we weren't already started with this, there would have been a chance that we would have lost that customer. Because we weren't up to date.
And I think in this case, the client was, they were assertive about, you know, what you should provide and what level of compliance. I mean, not assertive to the point where it was, you know, inhuman. I think we had some very good conversations. You know, we did kind of talk through some of the details, but I was a little bit surprised in this case about how kind of stringent they were in sort of even in lack of compliance and understanding that you're not going to be level 3, that you do need to have these things in place and you do need to provide these, and it does need to be ready by Friday. Wow. Right. It was that. And you know, I think in that case, Pete and I even jumped on a few phone calls with that customer to try to say, hey, look, we have a plan in place. This is what we're doing. We'll have these documents ready for you by maybe Monday. Mm-hmm. But we need a little bit more time. Can we just move forward with the business? We will have this. You know, there were some good conversations there. I thought they were healthy, but it was a little surprising and sort of how assertive, and I think that will continue to be more assertive as the years go by and we reach that deadline.
Yeah, well, one thing I learned that never even crossed my mind before this is that people looking to steal information aren't stealing it from the large DOD contractors. They're going to the lower level suppliers, which are much easier to breach, and they can steal the same information from them, mm-hmm. as they can from the big companies.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's just for us, I think we talk about the education of it and how important it is to reiterate it over and over and over again. And that's why I want to overemphasize, this is why he's on with us today and we're talking about this. And I think the other thing that is huge, and you saying that when you said, Harley, about it wasn't just that John and Pete were like, here, let's come in and do this and show you, but it's, you were educated within, you know, the coding house was educated, and this is what we have to do. And this is, now you know all of these extra items, and you and I are probably on the same page. My husband goes to put, you know, a password in now, and I'm like, oh, needs a hot uppercase, lowercase, a number, and a character. And he's like, what is the deal with these passwords now? I'm like, I'm telling you, you gotta have it all. It takes somebody, 180 something years to crack it?
It was a billion. It was a billion to break it down. It was like 1 point something billion. I forget what it was, but that also stuck with me. I do that for all my passwords
here.
Now.
Yeah. So yeah. So
that was a big one.
Yeah. This is what they do, and they teach you this stuff. But it's critical stuff that you you all are on the same page. You then are supportive within your own organization, and you reinforce it too. So I think that is our critical element that a lot of people, that's what we do as well. You know, we do a lot of the same things when we go in and do an assessment, you know, with a manufacturer and walk through with them. And it's not about, we're going to come in and tell you, this is what you need to do. You need to understand, you know, like this may be what we see, And these are the suggestions that we make, but we're not going to come in and do that for you. You need to be a part of that. And that's, you know, that continuous improvement and how you grow and how you sustain as an organization. So it's pretty cool that, yeah, you really do need to make sure after this, you either make them take you out for dinner, or I'm not quite sure. I'm assuming you're probably going to be on the website. You're going to be one of their customers. What do you guys have?
Like I said, you know, we have a cultural fit. So I think there will be some projects that we work late, you know, at the coding house and take, you know, a big team and possibly have a drink or two afterwards. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I do know that they have
something planned coming up.
Yeah. All I do know is that I see all the pictures on the website that they have. Like, they have, just so you know, Emma, they have a ping pong table that's in a Jax. I don't know if you know that or not, but yeah.
We were saying that the other day for the office, to bring in a ping pong table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have
a putting green or something.
Yeah.
We have a reigning champion. He's yet to be dethroned. Just saying, Harley, if you have any skills at all.
Oh, I do.
Love to knock him down.
Oh, yeah. Confidence.
I'm going to assume it's neither of you two then.
No, it's definitely not us.
I try day after day, but I'm not getting it.
Pete's like, I got to go to training over the summer. He's going to enroll in like a table tennis camp, like to get better, like working on a serve.
He'll come back with his own paddle and a glove.
A glove for the hitting hand.
It'd be like dodgeball, but table tennis. Like the movie.
That's a whole new line of swag. I like it. Well, last time we did this, I think we scared you.
And I tell everybody now.
Did we end up unplugging the TV from the wall?
No. No, but now every time, anybody is on Facebook, I go berserk when people are on Facebook. I'm like, do not answer these. Like, the things will pop up, and then I put a big thing underneath it and say, do not answer. These are hackers. Yeah.
I think there's been some traction. I see more and more people out there. It makes my heart sing. I have one that we haven't talked about. It's called smishing. Do you know what that is?
No,
it's another fancy, it's a real thing. So text messages, you guys have never gotten a text message fish attempt?
Yes.
And those are super tricky, right? Because they usually come from an area code that's familiar, right?
Yes.
So I guess just another sort of general hygiene heads up, right? Not only do you have to watch out for your email and make sure that you're validating, you know, what's coming in, but keep an eye on those text messages too. It may seem like, you know, that's limited risk and doesn't have a lot of access to things, but, you know, don't forget that they're trying to compromise you. Right? They're trying to get information from you. Just like with social media, even if you text back and you say, you know, hey, how are you? Well, now they know that that's your phone number, right? And it can be used in a subsequent attack. So a lot of times those things are just bots that are massive, you know, sending out text messages to random numbers. But yeah, it's important to be vigilant in pretty much everything, right? That is a communication channel.
So in something like that, I instantly go and I block them. Is there anything else I can do? Just do that?
No, as of right now, that's probably the best thing you can do, right? Yeah. Is be aware and use the tools that are available to you, and blocking them in your phone is a great tool.
Yeah. I get it on both. I get it on my personal phone and I get it on my work phone too. And it's always like, or it's always somebody like, hey, we saw you voted for so-and-so in the election. I'm like, oh, I didn't vote for them in the election. I'm like, oh, this
gotcha.
Is fake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. We actually, you know, we will work in some cases with businesses who hire us to do this to test this stuff. We'll try to hack the environment. We'll try to send phishing emails. We'll send text messages. We'll drop USB keys off. We'll send strangers to the door and try to get information. It's a good way to kind of make sure that as a company you're staying vigilant with that sort of stuff. But you got to be hyper aware.
I think it's becoming more and more prominent too. I was going to say, my school email in specific, I probably get maybe six or seven a day that I know are spam. And it's tough because it'll be something as simple as an assistant position. So it's like $500 a week. These are all the, you know, these are all the requirements. This is what you need. And I know it's a scam, but it makes me nervous because the amount of kids that are trying to earn money while also in school that see that, and it's like, yes, we're going to make money this month, that click on it. I'm like 6 or 7 a day. That is bound to get.
It's going to get some. You got it. I got an email from an old colleague that I haven't talked to in a year. I got it last week and it almost got me, right? It was, I remembered the first part of the email address, right? This colleague has a Hotmail address and it came in at Gmail, which is not odd, right? I didn't notice. It was the same, you know, like Mark Smith, you know, email man at Gmail. And I almost responded to it, except I said, you know, why is she emailing me? It's been a year. Like, this is kind of odd. So I took a screenshot and I texted to her and she said, oh my gosh, that's not me. I don't have a Gmail account. It's you just have to be aware, right? And sometimes that's the only line of defense.
It seems to me like most of the ones I get at work are from Gmail accounts. That is like my number one red flag. If it's at gmail.com, usually it's going to be something suspicious.
Yeah, Harley's anti-Gmail. No Google. I'm with you. No, I'm just kidding.
I like our quarantine that we have, our system that we have. It sends it, and I always look at the country, like to see where it comes from. And like half the time, I'm always like, yeah, no. Oh my gosh, like I don't even know where some of these places. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a country, which it probably isn't. But it's from somewhere that doesn't even make any sense. But that's crazy to me. But that's what happens, I guess, when you open up to this big, huge, worldwide interweb, right? It's huge. Yeah. So for everybody that's listening, so The Coding House, they have their website is thecodinghouse.com. So you can just all one word, thecodinghouse.com. And then obviously for Synagex, it's Synagex. It's Synagex.com. I always think of Synergy from Jem and the Holograms, the cartoon.
Wow. Jeb.
Right? Yeah,
I do know what that is.
That's she weird. Was truly outrageous, truly outrageous. Yeah. Yeah. So that's their website. And you know, you got to go in and give them a visit and check out their websites. You can see all the great pictures that they take right on their first page of Synagex, their company culture, and, you know, good little pictures. And the next thing you know is you see, oh, look, there's a table tennis.
That's right. That's
yep. right. Right in the office. And I don't know, I'd love to know who the champion is, but maybe
you have to call, to find out, right? That's how we do it. That's how we lure. Yep.
That's how you get people to come. Yeah.
What everybody's interested in. Yep. Yeah. Who is the ping pong champion? The cybersecurity stuff. It's all baloney.
Yep. Right. Yeah. It's all baloney. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Give them a visit. And we offer a lot of different opportunities. And that's like Harley and John and Pete said from the very beginning, that's how we got, you know, Harley and the Coding House involved and what we have to offer at MassMEP and the funding options that are available and, you know, how you can maneuver through that. So the costs, but they're the cost, the investment that you're going to make at the very beginning is going to be worth every single penny of it, you know, moving forward so that you don't have any of those costs that you may incur if you don't go through it and do this. So, and like in your case, Harley, having that, going through the process and now having that client and winning that job. So that's how we sustain and grow manufacturing. Yeah,
so it was worth it within the first 6 months.
There you go. There it is. Boy, he is really good. I don't know what you did with him, but he is really good.
It's all, you know, it's just, yeah. We'll talk later, Harley. Well,
they got you brainwashed over there. Yeah. No. But thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Thanks for taking out some time, carving out some time in your day. And so reach out to us if you have any questions. Obviously, you can always get to us at massmep.org. But thanks very much. So thanks, everyone, for listening to the MassMEP podcast. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmep.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.